today is found in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. In this chapter, we have the solemnity which proceeded before God gave the law upon Mount Sinai. We find that the children of Israel had been encamped in Rephidim, and now they move from Rephidim into the wilderness of Sinai and encamped before the mount. This was in the third month from when they had left Egypt. These people then, they had to follow the cloud, and when the cloud arose, then they went and stayed where the cloud stopped. They then were encamped here before the mountain. This mount is called Sinai. It's one of the highest peaks in this range of mountains that runs from the Red Sea to about 40 miles through the desert. It is about 8,000 feet high. There is another peak called Horeb, which likewise is in the same range, and that is about 6,000 feet high. We often read of Mount Sinai and also Mount Horeb, upon which the law was given. These two peaks comprise one mountain. The people then were encamped here. This was then the third month. The same day that they had left Egypt, the third month from then, they were here. This is the 50th day that they had left Egypt. We find that on the 50th day, God gave unto Israel his holy law. They commemorate the giving of this law upon the day of Pentecost. It was likewise God who gave the outpouring of his Spirit upon the apostles upon this notable day. We have then the children of Israel here in the wilderness of Sinai, and they were gathered before this mountain. This mountain was not far from the place where they had been encamped, Rephidim, because when they were in Rephidim, God had commanded Moses to take his rod and go to the rock and smite the rock, and the rock would bring forth water unto the people who were crying of thirst. So it could not have been too far from Rephidim where they were now encamped, although they had been encamped a considerable time in Rephidim, seeing again that they had been attacked by the Amalekites, who fell upon them in the rear, and who they likewise fought against and were victorious over. These people then gathered here before this mountain. They were given to see and to hear God call Moses up on this mount. Moses then was going up to the God that was up on the top of this mount, and God spake to him. God gave unto Moses a message to bring down to the people. He was to tell them and to remind them what God had done unto the Egyptians for them, how that he had bare them on eagle's wings, and how he had brought them unto himself, and that if they would obey his voice, then they would be his peculiar treasure above all the people of the earth. For he was the owner of the earth. The earth is mine. And that they would become a peculiar people, a holy nation, a people that would be priests unto the Lord. This God gave unto Moses to bring back unto the people. This was what we call God coming down and entering into a covenant with these people. It was all of God. God was the mover of this. He was the originator of it, and it was his plan to enter into a covenant with these people. They were a people that were but a family in Egypt. Jacob went down into the land of Egypt, and there were about 70 souls that had come forth out of his loins. And while they were in Egypt, they multiplied considerably, and they become an innumerable multitude of slaves. And now God chose these people, brought them out, and here they are in the wilderness, and he is going to enter into a covenant with them. If they would but obey his voice and do as he said and commanded them, then they would be a people that was distinguished above all the nations that were upon the earth. This covenant is not the covenant of grace. It's not the covenant of works. It's a national covenant that God entered into with these people. These people then were privileged above all other people to become God's people in this way, his chosen nation. They then, if they would obey his voice, they would be his peculiar treasure, something that he valued, something that he loved. They then would likewise be a people that would be holy, that would be priests, that would offer up sacrifices and things that God would give unto them which would be acceptable unto himself. What a wonderful blessing this was of God to condescend to come to these people in this way. This is likewise a type of what God does for his church, for his chosen people, his elect from all eternity. Did he choose these people, the Israelites? Did he bring them out of Egypt? So he likewise has made choice of an innumerable multitude of people. There may be some amongst us even at this present time that must yet be brought to this church of which God has chosen. When this takes place, he likewise does with them as he did with Israel. They were typical of this chosen race of sinners that God has likewise here yet upon this earth. They are brought out of the Egypt of this world. God comes with his spirit and arrests them, lays conviction upon their souls, and brings them out of this world, separates them from all their friends, from their sins, from themselves, and brings them to himself. This is what he done unto Israel. They were carried as upon eagle's wings. An eagle is a bird that bears its young on its wings. If anyone wants to kill its young, it must first shoot through the wings of the eagle to kill the young. This is the way the eagle protects its young. So God likewise protects his people. And no one can slay them. No one can destroy them. They are kept as in the hollow of his hand. They are kept even in their steed of unregeneracy when they are following after sin and following the world and its follies. God has his eye upon them, and in due time he brings them out. He separates them from the world, from sin, from the devil, from themselves, from all their companions in sin. And he leads them to himself. May I ask, has this ever taken place in your life, my hearers? A most important thing. The most important thing that could happen to you here upon this globe. For God to separate you and to bring you to Himself. Oh, my hearers. When God does this, then we find God manifesting Himself as He said He would unto Israel. As they would obey His voice, they would be His peculiar treasure. Oh, to think, if any one of us may be such a person, that God should look down from heaven upon this sinful race and choose any one of us is something wonderful. This proves the sovereignty, the freeness, and the grace of God in making choice of any sinner. And the sinner that experiences this will wonder and be amazed why that God made choice of him or her. It'll come up again and again in their lives. And they are brought near to Him. Oh, how sweet, how dear, how precious this is, my hearers, to be brought near unto God, to experience His grace, His mercy, His favor, His love, His companionship. Have you ever experienced it? Do you know anything of this, my hearers, of being brought near unto God, enjoying something of His presence in your life, being surrounded with His presence, realizing it, and believing it for your own heart and soul? Oh, what a wonderful blessing this is. The psalmist says, it is good for me to be near unto God. There ain't a better place in this world, my hearers, than to be brought near unto God. Oh, then you, if you have experienced this, are one of His peculiar treasure, one who He delights in, one who He will keep, protect, one who He will watch over throughout your earthly journey and will take you home into that glorious abode in heaven above. These people, they would then be His treasure. They would likewise be a holy nation. They would be a holy people who would be priests unto God. These people that I am speaking about, these elect, they likewise are given to experience that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. This Spirit strives in them against sin, against the world, against the flesh, against the devil. They are continually praying that they may be made holy and kept holy. Oh, they long to be, if possible, without sin. Oh, they long to be as Jesus is, who was without sin. Oh, have you such longings in you? Are there any people listening to me that long to be like Christ, to bear His image here below? Oh, to be a holy person, separated from everybody, dedicated unto God, having in you a desire to live for Him and for Him only. Oh, what a mercy if you have this, my hearers. To be likewise a company of priests. Of this the apostle even speaks, that they are a holy priesthood. This every one of God's dear people are. They are in their own private exercises priests unto God. As you know, priests offered up sacrifices of old. They taught the people and they interceded to God with prayers for the people. These priests that I'm speaking about likewise, they offer up the sacrifices of a broken heart, of a contrite spirit, sometimes a sacrifice of praise, of thanksgiving. Oh, how sweet it is When the Spirit of God gives them these sacrifices, they are then acceptable unto God, and he receives them because they come from him and return back to him. Oh, then they are priests unto God. What a blessing, my hearers, to be one of these people. Israel was a type of these people. It was not all the people that were the people of God. All Israel was not Israel. They were all his national people. If they would obey him, they would be blessed by him. He would lead them into Canaan. He would protect them and deliver them from all their enemies. And if they obeyed him, did not fall away from him, did not forsake his covenant nationally, then he would be their God. It didn't depend actually upon a few or a multitude. Even if they did sin and fall into idolatry, this did not break the covenant. But if the rulers, those that were in authority, those that would be kings hereafter, would depart from God and break his covenant, then they could expect that he likewise would forsake them, and that he would give these privileges unto another people, which he did. These people, the Jews, likewise, when Christ came, rejected him, despised him, and would not receive him. And God likewise left them in their sins and turned unto the Gentiles and gave unto them the privileges that the Jewish people had. This covenant then was not a covenant of grace or a covenant of works, but it was a national covenant. They were incorporated as a nation, and they became, under the government of God, a wonderful people, distinguished among all the nations of the world. What a mercy that these people found this to be. And now Moses had to return from the mount with this message to these people. As I said, God was the originator. God was the one that planned this, as he does likewise in spiritual ways. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the one whose heart warmed towards these people to enter into a covenant with them. This likewise is the experience when he likewise comes to his children and gives unto them to experience his love and his grace. When Moses descended from the mount, we find that these people were told what God had said and what he would do for them. And they with all, with one voice, they said, "We will obey the Lord." And they, in this, accepted God as their ruler, as their God, as their king. This was done without due consideration. This was done very hastily. They said, "We will obey the voice of the Lord." Oh, my hearers, oh, when God comes to his people in this way and promises them many blessings, they likewise are filled by his Spirit to accept him, to surrender themselves unto him and to his service, and to say with Paul of old, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Oh, have you ever been brought to this point that you have been given to surrender yourself unto God and to his service, and that you have become one of his dear children in this way? All this takes place, my hearers, in a day of God's power. These people then accepted the terms of this covenant which God proposed unto them. And now, after they had accepted accepted this, Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. He was the mediator. He was the in-between. So it is in a spiritual sense. Christ is the mediator between us and God. And Christ, he by his Spirit comes down with his word and with his promises in our hearts. And he likewise goes back unto his Father, for he takes with him what he himself has indicted in our hearts, and this is acceptable unto God. And these people then, they entered into a covenant with God and became his national people. And now God, he said unto Moses that he would come down upon this mountain, Sinai, and that he would speak unto Moses, and that he would speak unto the people, that they would hear his voice, and that they would believe Moses forever. God then promises to come down on this mountain. This appearance of God in this lower world, there never was an appearance like it, and there never will be until the day of judgment. God was pleased then to promise that he would come down on this mountain, that these people, the Israelites, would be given to see something of his glory, something of his majesty, and that he would talk to them with an audible voice, that they would believe in God and believe in Moses, his servant. And God commanded Moses that he should sanctify the people, that 3 days from then he would come down upon this mountain. They were then to sanctify themselves. They were to wash their clothes. They were to prepare themselves for the 3rd day when God would appear to them upon this mountain. This teaches us, my hearers, when we come up to worship God, then likewise we should sanctify ourselves, prepare ourselves to place ourselves before this holy, this majestic, this glorious, and this divine being of whom we have so mean thoughts, of whom we think so little of, for he is not in all our thoughts, my hearers. But we realize not when we come up to worship who we are worshiping. Oh, if we had a due sense and a due feeling of the presence of him before whom we live and stand, how different we would be coming up in worshiping God. Oh, sad to say, how are we even under the worship? Where are our minds? Where are our thoughts? How fatigued, how sleepy, how drowsy, how indifferent are we before him who sees us, who knows us, who watches us at all times. Israel was to prepare themselves because they were going to meet God. So we should prepare ourselves. They were to wash their clothes. Not that God cared about their clothes. He didn't need their clothes. But by washing their clothes, they were brought to remember their sins and iniquities in Egypt, and even unto that present moment, that their souls needed to be washed by the Spirit through repentance and godly sorrow. They were then likewise to keep themselves clean till the 3rd day. Do you think everybody that was an Israelite did this? I don't think so. There were many that were indifferent. There were many that didn't obey this. There were many probably that said, well, we'll wait till the 3rd day and we'll see what happens. They aren't any different today, my hearers. And that day they weren't any different either. And now Moses, he went down to the people and he told them. And Moses was commanded to set bounds so that these people would come no further. They were not allowed to come up on the mount, because if as much as a beast or a man came up the side of this mount, they would be stoned, they would be shot through. Moses then, he either put a ditch around this place or he put posts up and prohibited the people from coming near. God had commanded this. This was what they were to do then, to keep away from this mountain. How different it is in the days in which we live. In the new dispensation, my hearers, these people were kept at a distance. They were not permitted to come near. But oh, if God gives you the grace, and you may get some boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you may plead. Oh, how wonderful to be led by the Spirit in this way. These people were not permitted to come near, but in and through the death, in and through the sacrifice of Christ, a filthy sinner may be given boldness to come near unto God and plead with him. These people then, they, in obedience to Moses, probably most of them, they sanctified themselves. Moses, he went up on the mount. God called him again up on the mount. And God said unto him, go down and speak to the people and tell them that they should not break through and gaze, lest they perish. And the priests likewise, who were accustomed to come near unto the Lord, they were not permitted either to come near unto this mountain. Moses, he spake and said, thou commandest us that we should set bounds. He assured God that the people could not come through because he had been down to them and had spoken to them in this manner to them. But we know as human beings that no matter what God does, in the line of affliction, in the line of judgments, in the line of coming and visiting countries by terrible things, still people are just as indifferent concerning what God does as some of these Israelites were, and even the priests. All many, when things happen, when God visits a nation, when God visits a family, some make a mockery of it. Some laugh about it. God knew what was going on down there amongst those people. He knew what was in their hearts and in their minds. He knew that there was many that would have liked to break through, to get near, to see something, to see if they couldn't see God. And then after they had seen him, they would try to make an image of him and have him to worship in their homes. God took care that this didn't take place, my hearers. For when he did come down, they saw no similitude. They had nothing to go by. Therefore, God went to Moses again in this way. These priests likewise, who were accustomed to sacrifice and offer sacrifices to God for the people, they likewise hadn't sanctified themselves as they should have. They, likewise, were indifferent in this respect, and they had to be told that they had not the due reverence before God that they should have. And Moses assured God that the priest and likewise the people would not break through, lest they would perish. And now God promised to come down upon this mountain. And lo, the third day came. This was the day, a memorial day, a day that Israel, even to this day, has never forgotten. A day that stands out in the history of these people. Oh, that great and that glorious God came down on this mountain. Early on the morning of that day, there was upon this mountain a thick cloud, much thicker than the cloud that had went before the Israelites every day. And out of this thick cloud there burst forth lightnings and thunders, a terrible tempest, just like we see sometimes in the distance. We see an awful black cloud coming and we say, well, there's a thunderstorm. So it was over the top of this mountain, a great dark black cloud. Oh, in this cloud was God. There was lightnings and there was thunders. We know that lightning is the fire of God. He has used this many times as a weapon against sinners and against his enemies, even in defending his people. And we know when the thunder rolls through the heavens, we see and hear the power and the voice of God in this thunder. These people, they heard these things and went out and looked. And this mountain was all on smoke. It was just like if a furnace was burning. These people, they heard likewise the voice of a trumpet sounding louder and louder. This voice was probably the ministry of angels who attended this descending of God upon this mountain. God then came down upon Mount Sinai, and the whole mountain began to quake, it began to shake. And these people that were in the camp, they all began to tremble and to fear. They seen the majesty, the glory of this great and glorious being coming down on this mountain. God then revealed likewise even to the nations round about that something of his glory was here upon this mountain. It was not only Israel that seen this, but there were nations in the distance that seen this mountain covered in this way. God did this to fill them with terror. God then revealed here his glorious presence on this mountain. Oh, my heavens, we could picture these people. They were to meet this God. Oh, how full of fear they were. Moses, he led these people out of the camp to the foot of this mountain where God was. Oh, my hearers, there never was a sermon like this preached in this world like this sermon. Before this or after this, the preacher was God himself. The congregation was the greatest congregation that there ever was. Over 2 million people were brought before this mountain. God descended on this mountain. All these people, they were then gathered here to hear what God had to say to them. Thunders, lightnings, a tempest, darkness, all thinking of this, it led my thoughts to the day of judgment. I read God's precious word that it will be similar upon that day as it was here for the Israelites. Oh, then the sign of the Son of Man shall be seen in the clouds. Then it will be as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. Then there will be the sound of the trumpet sounding very loud. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. We weren't there when Israel had this great and glorious sight, but we will all be there at this day, every one of us. It is appointed unto man to die, and thereafter the judgment. Every one of us will be assembled before the throne of Jesus Christ, who will judge the world in righteousness. What a day that will be for you and I, my hearers. Us and our children, we will all be assembled here. These people, the Israelites, they heard the voice of God, and they lived. They didn't die. We are going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ separating his sheep from the goats. And oh, if we be a goat, then likewise we will hear that terrible denunciation, "Go away from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, how many of you that are listening to me are fearful that you will hear this voice speaking to you in this way? Or are you indifferent? Don't you believe it? Oh, if you believed it, my hearers, you would be like these Israelites. You would be trembling at the present time. How shall it go with me? Will this judge know me? Will he call me out of the multitude? Will he reveal that he loves me, that I am one of his children? Oh, my dear hearers, think of these things. These are solemn things. They are realities. They are things that might come to pass very soon. We are hastening to the end. All the signs are pointing that way, that Christ is soon to appear in the heavens to judge the world in righteousness. Here he came down so majestically upon this mountain. His presence was seen in the fire, in the thunder, in the clouds. He was not seen as a person. There was no features to be seen, but there was enough of his presence there to give Israel to believe that God was in their midst, that God was with them, that God was going to be their covenant God and was going to keep what he had promised to do unto them if they would obey his voice. This was the solemnity preceding the giving of the law. God began to speak after Moses had went down again upon the earth. Then in the next chapter, we have God's voice speaking unto the Israelites. And God spake. Oh, what a wonderful voice this must have been. In what language do you think that God spake? None other than the language of the Israelites, so that every one of them heard his voice. Every one of them were given to hear what God had to say unto them. And God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." This was the beginning. This was, we would say, the preface of the law. A reminder unto them that he who spake to them was their God, and that he was the one that had led them out of the land of Egypt. I can't enter, my hearers, into these commandments at this present time. If I should want to, I probably would need 10 Sundays for each commandment to give you a thorough explanation of every commandment that God speak upon this mountain. I don't think I have the ability to do this either. And I don't think that I will do it. I am so far behind these other lessons that we are having, as you notice. I just can't keep up with this. It seems to be too much in that respect to pass by and just to skip it and forget about it. I will, with the help of God, next Sunday, the Lord willing, give you a little interpretation of the commandments that God gave upon Mount Sinai and what they mean to each and every one of us, even to this very day, and what they will mean unto the end of this world. This law is a law that will remain until the day of judgment. The Lord bless my feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all.